Well, we here in the studio just witnessed something very strange. Rick Kempfer's here. He has written a book called Every Cub Ever about every player that's ever played for the Chicago Cubs. And he handed a copy to you, Wendy, and upon touching this Cub book, smoke and fire started to come out of your hands and the book.
All right, first of all, that's Rick's joke.
Thank you, Rick.
Rick Kempfer is here, and the book in question is Every Cub Ever. Rick walked in, and Bill's like, this is amazing. And I didn't have a chance to say it. Rick said, you know, Bill, here's a copy. Bill says, I already have one. Wendy, would you like, well, it'll probably... What did you say? It'll
burn in your hands.
Yeah.
And it did.
Yes. Well, I got to tell you.
It's like throwing holy water on a vampire.
I am a Sox fan. I was in it when the Cubs won the World Series. I had turned around a little bit.
Yes.
And so I will say now to a Cub fan out there, this is the best book ever.
Thank you. You know, I was inspired during that season by Bill's parody song of Jake Arrieta.
Oh, thank you.
Well, we got to find that.
Which, if you get that somewhere, I'd love to
change
hear
your
that
life.
Again. Yes, it
As
did. It
so
changed
many have
my
said
life
over the years.
It made me want to write this book.
Oh, good. Good. I'm glad some good came out of
yes.
it, Rick. That's
but
exciting.
You're a lifelong Cubs fan.
I am. Since 1968, I went to my first game with my Uncle Manny, who lived on Lakewood, you know, like three blocks away from Wrigley Field.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's been a lifelong love-hate affair. And here it is. It's I handed this book into my co-publisher, Dave, and he said to me, this is about every Cub ever.
Yes.
Yes. He said, have you ever kissed a girl?
Well, how long did this take you?
It took me 10 years.
All right. So
wow.
You had time to kiss some girls in between some of the
Wow. Women. Much your wife's chagrin.
Right.
Yes. Sorry, Bridget.
Here's the beauty of this. So every guy, as the title would imply, everyone who's ever put on a Cub uniform and taken to the field, they're all featured in this book.
Right.
And then you have, sometimes it's just a paragraph, because sometimes it's a guy that was only on for a couple of games or something like that. But then sometimes you get a really deep, rich story about everything about that guy.
Yeah, I was looking for stories as opposed to stats, you know, because you can get in a book, you know, Baseball Reference online, you can see all the stats.
Yeah.
But the stories behind these guys intrigued me. And it was the guys that had played like one inning in one game, you know, like the Moonlight Graham in Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
There's tons of stories like that in Cubs history.
Yeah.
Wait, let's just reminisce for a second. This fabulous song that inspired one Rick Kempfer.
Oh, Arrieta, Jacob Arrieta, Arrieta, he's my favorite Cub. Almost pitched a perfect game, destined for the Hall of Fame. Freeze the frame, shout his name, perfect game, Hall of Fame. Oh, Arrieta, Jacob Arrieta, Arrieta, he's my favorite Cub. Doesn't give up many hits, enjoys a hot dog and some Schlitz. Many hits, have a Schlitz, perfect game, Hall of Fame. Oh, Arrieta, Jacob Arrieta, Arrieta, he's my favorite Cub. Give him his Cy Young Award, Martin Milner, Kent McCord, Young Award, Kent McCord. Many
right,
hits,
you don't have to play all of it.
Hall of Fame.
You just have to get in Kent McCord's name, and then everybody's
the best
happy.
Line, and I just want to give that earworm to everybody.
Oh, thank
it's
you for
fantastic.
That.
Wonder.
Thank you for that. All right, so let's go individually through some of these guys, and I would like to start, if it's okay with you, with Carmen Fanzone.
Okay, I love Carmen Fanzone. He was the backup infielder for the Cubs in the early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Played second base and third base,
but best known for what he played.
He played the trumpet.
The trumpet.
Yes. And there was I actually spoke to Carmen Fanzone.
Did you really?
While I was writing this book. And there was a legend that he played in the Tonight Show Band.
Yeah.
And it was in Wikipedia. And I said, you know, is that true? Did you play for the Tonight Show Band? He said, no, never did. But I hung out with those guys, and they were my drinking buddies.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah. So it's sort of a true story, but not really.
Yeah.
It's still pretty cool.
He also wore number 23, one of the last ones before
Sandberg.
Sandberg.
Yeah, changed everything. When the Cubs won the World Series, the next day we were trying to figure out which great Cub we should have on to talk about what this means to the city of Chicago. And the name that hit me, I know this is a crazy one, but Bert Hooten. I wanted to have Bert Hooten on, and we did. What can you tell us about Bert Hooten?
Bert Hooten pitched a no-hitter in his fourth start for the Cubs. And I was a little kid. I watched the last inning.
Remember what Brickhouse said?
No.
Hey, hey, a no-hitter for the kid. That's what he said at the end.
I believe it. Yeah. I believe it. But I did see that. I saw that on TV, and that had a huge impact on me. I loved Bert Hooten.
Yeah.
He was traded to the Dodgers, I think, in the Rick Monday trade.
Yeah. Had a one of the great baseball nicknames of all time, Happy, because he never smiled once.
That's right.
Never, ever smiled, so the teammates called him Happy.
I like true. That.
Yeah.
That was the other fun part was, if you go on Baseball Reference, you see sometimes they'll put like their nicknames on there.
Yeah.
And like there was a guy named Steam Engine in Boots. That was his nickname.
That's like, a long nickname.
Now that sounds like a fun story, right? There's got to be a story there. So I did some research. It took me a long time to find this, but he apparently... He created that nickname for himself. He's one of these guys that, you know.
Really? You can do that?
From now on, you call me Steam Engines and Boot, or, you know, whatever. And then he would sign in to every hotel, S-E-I-B, or whatever the letters are for that. And it never caught on.
I wonder why.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, this is a sad one because of what just happened last week, but we lost Bill Buckner.
Yeah.
What's the story behind Bill Buckner?
So he won a batting title as a Cub. Bill Buckner was very close to being a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
He was that good of a player. I think, as someone said the other day, no Cub player. He only struck out three times in a game once.
Wow!
In his
in
entire career,
jeez.
Or maybe zero times. I can't remember. Wow. One or the other. He was that good of a contact hitter.
I remember them saying he never struck out more than 40 times in a season.
Exactly.
There's players that do that in a month now. He never did it in a season.
Yeah, he would walk more, many times more.
Yeah.
Do either of you have a favorite Cub? It's pretty hard to pinpoint it to one, isn't it?
Mine was Jose Cardenal.
Oh,
just because he had that big fro and, you know, he wore the hat. It barely, it just would rest on the top of his head.
And once missed a game because he couldn't open one of his eyes.
Right. Yeah. Another time he missed the game because he said there were crickets in his room and they kept him up all night.
Oh, I could see that. And it's a great dad joke to use for Father's Day when you have a cardinal in your yard. I always would say, oh, look, there's a cardinal. Must be Jose.
Met him once. I met him at the Jewel in Mount Prospect. I was there with my two older sons and we were in the produce section. And I looked over and I'm like, oh, is that who I think it is? I said, wait here, boys. I put them by the oranges and I walked over to the onions and Jose was there. And I said, excuse me, I don't want to interrupt anything.
Yeah.
Are you Jose Cardenal? He goes, well, yes, I am.
Oh, wow.
And I said, well, you know, what are you doing? It was in the winter. I said, what are you doing here in Chicago? He said, I live here. This is my town. I live here year round.
Really?
I said, you're from Cuba.
Right.
He goes, yeah, I love it here. So a Cuban lives in Chicago in the winter because he loves us.
I always pictured Jose Cardenal. You know how a little leaguer, when the game is over, they ride their bike home in their uniform? I pictured Jose Cardenal walking around when the game's over still wearing his uniform.
Do you ever go to a signing when you were a kid? And the players were wearing street clothes.
Throws, yeah.
And you're looking like, what the?
You can't wear street clothes.
Exactly.
Put your uniform
26.
On.
What are you doing?
Come on. The book is called Every Cub Ever because, well, it features every Cub ever. Not an exaggeration. Yeah. If they ever played for the Cubs, anytime between 1871 and modern day and today, they are featured in this book, Every Cub Ever. Rick Hempfer's their guest.
Wouldn't that be a great Father's Day gift?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because Father's Day's coming.
It is coming
you
up.
You could almost get this for your dad for
you
Father's
could.
Day.
It's almost a perfect
gift. Oh, it's so perfect. All right, we'll take a quick break and then more with Rick Hempfer. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Still laughing at 20, Snyder. Our guest is Rick Hempfer. He has written a book called Every Cub Ever. And Rick says, with Father's Day a week and a half away, wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to get a dad who loves the Cubs.
If dad loves the Cubs, he'll love this book.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go through a couple more names really quickly.
Okay.
Joe Wallace, outfielder.
Tarzan.
Tarzan, as they called him.
Yes.
Why?
Very speedy.
Loincloth?
Yes, he only wore a loincloth, and he had a monkey next to him all the time in center field.
He would jump. You know, he was like he was a good fielding outfielder, and he was very hairy.
Yes.
Yes. He had giant hair, big beard and everything, and so Tarzan was an appropriate name for him.
Glenn Allen Hill.
Glenn Allen Hill was the guy who hit the home run over the fence.
500 feet.
Onto the rooftop of the... Waveland Avenue,
yes,
on the other side of the street.
Yes.
Yes, 500 feet.
He also had muscles on top of he was the most built human being I've ever seen in my life.
That's true. And as it turned out, according to the Mitchell report years later, there was a reason for that.
Right.
Had some help.
Purchased.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you have any of the vendors in this book, or is that going to be a
no,
different book?
But I do have the broadcasters in here, and you know, I did an appearance with George Will recently, the columnist,
yeah,
and he's a Cubs fan,
yeah,
and he was super excited to get this book. And the first thing he did was to look up to see if his favorite announcer, Burt Wilson, was in here, who I had never heard of before I wrote this book.
I don't know who that is either. Who is that?
He was the announcer in the early 50s.
Burt Wilson, for TV or radio?
For radio. And George Will grew up downstate Illinois and listened to the radio, and Burt Wilson was his guy, and he's in the book.
Here's a question about the Cubs announcers. Yes. Without a doubt, Harry Carey has gone down as just an icon of Chicago sports.
We had him first.
We had him first. The White Sox did have him first. Was Jack Brickhouse slighted at all by all the love and the attention that Harry Carey received?
I think he was, yes. Yeah. He absolutely was. I'd spoken to his widow, Pat, many times.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm talking out of school to say that she was miffed by that.
Yeah.
Because he got that statue outside of Wrigley Field. And,
right.
And Brickhouse got, you know, hey on the right, foul pole.
That's it.
And Brickhouse had been there for 50 years.
I know.
Doesn't seem fair.
Yeah.
I know. What was the biggest surprise you came across when writing the book, Rick?
Well, I was telling you earlier, I didn't know that they didn't sell beer at Wrigley Field. They didn't sell any liquor before Prohibition. And so, you know, it was not a part of the experience. But the funny part was the Cubs, during Prohibition, led the league in arrests for drinking. For the players.
Yeah.
There were more than a dozen players on the Cubs that were arrested for drinking during Prohibition, which is far and away the most of any club in
That's
in
crazy.
Baseball, yeah.
I want to know about Jittery Joe Barry, who played with the Cubs 1904 to 1958, or no, he was a Cubs 1942.
Jittery Joe Barry, if I remember right, and I'm not looking at the book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I believe he pitched for the Cubs during the war. He was a very old rookie, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh.
How old does it say in there?
Yeah. It 37-year-old rookie.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So he in the war, they brought in a lot of guys.
Yeah.
He was a very thin man, tipping the scales at no more than 135 pounds. How thin was he? Do you remember this?
Yeah, he was blown off the mound by the wind one time when he was pitching.
That thin?
Yeah, he's thin.
135
How
pounds.
How thin was he? Yes.
That's awesome.
There have been a few players that have played for the Cubs multiple times. Like, they'll be with them for a couple years, then they'll play elsewhere. It seemed like when we were kids, Bob Locker got traded between the Cubs and Oakland every season. They just
That's
keep
true.
Trading them back and forth, back and forth.
They traded Bob Locker. They traded Bill North, who ended up being a big part
Center
of their, their World Series teams. Traded him to the A's for Bob Locker.
Yeah.
Bob Locker blew out his arm.
Yeah.
Cubs traded him back to Oakland. And then we got him back again for Billy Williams.
Right.
At the very end of Billy Williams' career.
Didn't they one time trade Bob Locker for himself? It's the only time in baseball history they traded
Dickie
him.
Knowles.
Oh, they
Dickie
did the
Knowles,
same.
Yes.
Right.
He's the one who was traded for himself. Right.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's
there are
beautiful.
Some interesting stories in here, I have to tell you that.
Several players, you know, this is more for Wendy than for you, but several Cub players were also White Sox players. They not only Harry Carey performed for both teams, but a lot of other guys did too, huh?
Yeah, that's true. In fact, one of them has a copy of this book. That's Steve Trout.
Oh, really?
He came to an appearance I was doing in Orland.
Yeah.
And I gave him a copy of the book, and he read his entry, and he said, well, that's not true. There was something in here that he said wasn't true about a burrito eating contest. And I said, well, I watched a video of your teammates saying that you did this.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, well, maybe it was true.
Oh, yeah. He gave in on that.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if it's true or not, but Steve Trout, if it's not true, we'll take it out of the next edition.
When your book arrived the other day, I started looking up YouTube videos of some of the players in there, and there was an afternoon. Now, this guy did not play for the Cubs. He played against the Cubs, but see if you remember the day that Mark Lemangelo of the Houston Astros had a blow-up in Wrigley Field. Do you remember this?
No.
He had I've seen a lot of arguments in baseball, but this is him and the umpire. The umpire called a ball a strike or a strike a ball. I don't remember, but he was not happy with the outcome. And he just kept running around and flipping the umpire off.
I missed that.
And they, to WGN's credit, maybe the cameraman didn't know what he was watching.
We're number
one. He kept it on him the whole time. It's insane.
I missed that.
Oh, it's great. Rumor. You got to watch it. Mark Lemangelo, they pronounced his name, okay. But we called him Lemangelo because
it's
delicious.
Yes. Yeah. Have you, you've done a lot of interviews for Every Cub Ever, a comprehensive guide to everyone who wore the uniform from 1871 to 2018. Rick Kempfer in the studio with us. You've done a lot of interviews. Has anyone brought up a name that you forgot? You haven't forgotten anyone.
Not yet. Not yet.
I thought Bill was going to be the one.
There were a couple people who told me I've been actually getting quite a few emails from descendants of players, you know, and there were two that sent me emails saying that their father played for the Cubs and they're not in this book. And I looked it up, and they never played for the Cubs. They might have been in the minor leagues, or they got to a certain point, and maybe in spring training or something. But
did they tell their families that they did it?
Yes,
point?
Exactly.
Oh,
so that as they're growing up, they're hearing this story, and unfortunately, it wasn't true.
Oh.
So,
and you had to be the one to tell them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who are your favorite brothers that ever played for the Cubs?
Oh, boy. I kind of like the Breedens. Remember?
Hal Breeden.
And Danny Breeden.
And Danny Breeden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd they do?
Well, they were on the team that I loved the most in the late 60s, early 70s.
At the same time, the brothers were?
Yeah.
One was a catcher, I think. One was a first baseman, outfielder.
We also must remember, of course, the Russell brothers.
The Russells.
Rick and Paul.
Yes.
I know of Rick.
Who were sturdy.
Yes.
Is that the most polite way of describing them?
I had 500 pounds of rock, bropping, stomping, pitching from those two guys.
Very sturdy fellows, the Russell brothers.
You did a great job on this, Rick. I can't tell you how proud I am of you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And
that.
What a great Father's Day gift for Cubs fans or just baseball fans.
That's true. EveryCubEver.com is the place you can get it, or at EckhartsPress.com is another place.
And someone could do a version of this about the White Sox if they wanted
to.
They
could, and I know a publisher.
Yeah.
A publisher.
Oh.
Jimmy Mack, are you listening?
Yeah.
Maybe he
get
can
to
do
work.
It.
That would be excellent.
We'll talk to you in 10 years.
Rick, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
It's a fun book. It's Every Cub Ever, available wherever books are sold. Every Cub Ever by Rick Kempfer. We'll take a break, and we'll get you, we'll switch things over as Steve comes in with the Wintrust Business Lunch.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Jen DeSalvo from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.